Okay, the story gets a little bit wild, and I'm going to hold off like any like crazy perushim or any further wild part of the story. We're just going to try to get through the story now, and really the story comes to a culmination where everything we've been talking till now, we see the results come out, right? Like we talked about last time, that sometimes that the world is so hidden and we don't know why this is happening to the good person, and this is happening to the bad person, but it all culminates, it all gets to it's where it has to go. So right now, where are we holding? Where's the Tam?
He's like.
The Tam is the minister. He's the prime minister right now. That's what the Tam guy. He went for the governor.
Kind of sounds like Yosef.
What?
Kind of sounds like Yosef.
And maybe it sounds like Yosef, yeah? And it sounds like Yosef, kind of. Maybe like the brothers telling the dreams that everyone's going to be, you know, like it's very simple. Yeah, you definitely could fit into that. Again, with the Sipur Maishas, it fits into Kol Tarkula. So it's not like a kid. It's like, oh, yeah, Yosef. Oh, yeah. It fits into Yosef. It fits into Korbanos. It fits into everything. It was written before the Torah. This is before the Torah. So everything in the Torah is coming from this. It's not learned from this, God forbid. I shouldn't believe in Sipur Maishas. But Rabbi Nachman's tapping into the Torah before the Kadmon, Sipuri Kadmonios, the Mashal HaKadmon. He's tapping into the real Mashal of the Torah before the Torah became into a physical Torah telling us, you know, like this person and that person, this person. So it's not crazy that in Sipur Maishas you find everything. It's not like Rabbi Nachman was looking at the story of Yosef saying, oh, let me teach the story of Yosef. He was where the story of Yosef came from. It came from a very high source. Okay, so yeah, but it does sound like Yosef. He comes to the, and you have the Chacham. The Chacham is a lost, you know, horrible right now. He has no food, no money. Because why? Because he spent all of his money on proving everybody that God doesn't exist. Him, and now he brought along the Chacham from that they sent him from the kingdom. They're going along. Now it gets a little bit mystical, the story, right? In the there's like the guy, a really funny guy. This guy, Tzvi Fishman. He translates a lot of Rav Kook's farm. I brought him here one time. He made a movie of Sipur Maishas. He was a Hollywood director at a certain point of his life. He lived in L.A. Then he did tshuva. It's a crazy, crazy story. I brought him in here. The guys loved him. He's like the most fascinating guy in the world. And like at this part of the play, things are starting getting a little wild. Like how he does it, you know. Up till now, it's very easy, you know. So here we go. So they went. He went to the city. He went to the city. In that city, there lived a true miracle worker. By the way, in Hebrew, you have to know that it's called the Baal Shem. He was called the Baal Shem. Okay, maybe the Baal Shem Tov. He was considered very important because of the miracles that he performed. He was important and famous even among the ministers. Okay? Very big person, did miracles. The sophisticated and his companion came to the city. They wandered around until they came to the miracles worker's house. They saw many wagons there, 40 or 50 with sick people. The sophisticated assumed that a physician lived there. Since the sophisticated was also a skilled physician, he wanted to go in and become acquainted with the other. Right, look, there's a lot of sick people. I know how to heal people. I'm a doctor. Let me see what's going on here. Who lives here? Asked the sophisticate. A miracle worker, answered the people. The physician began to laugh. He said to his companion, what a tremendous falsehood and error. This is even more foolish than the belief in the king. Right? First of all, they're believing in the king that nobody ever saw. And now they're believing in a miracle worker. By the way, the belief in the miracle worker is harder to believe. He says it's harder to believe than even the king. It's harder to believe in a tzaddik than it is like the Hashem. Because Hashem, everybody says, of course, I believe in Hashem. It's like, Anuch Hashem Elkecha. It's that first Aser HaDibro. Where does Aser HaDibro? To believe in the tzaddik. To believe that there is a form of a tzaddik. Where does it say that? Actually, it does say it, by the way. It says, Vayaminu Hashem u'b'moshe avdo. Okay, but that's not a mitzvah. It's just maybe a historical. Okay, people can explain whatever they want, but there's no clear mitzvah to believe in a tzaddik. So are you telling me to believe in a tzaddik, a person, a fallible person? They should really believe in a tzaddik. That's more ridiculous than believing in Hashem. That's basically the underlining message of what they're saying. Oh, now you're telling it was ridiculous to believe in God that nobody ever saw. Now you're telling to believe in a tzaddik, that's even more foolish. You hear that, right? You go into a shul and says, does everybody believe in Hashem? Yeah, of course we believe in Hashem. Why would we be in the shul if we don't believe in Hashem? Do you believe in a tzaddik? Oh, whoa. That's kafira, that's avodah zarah, that's what? it's harder to believe, it's more fun, it's easier to make fun of the believing in a tzaddik than it is to believe in Hashem. My friend, let me tell you about this falsehood and to what an extent the world falls for this shenanigans. Okay, it's not the word here, but shenanigans. Meanwhile, they became hungry and they discovered that they still had three or four gershon. They went to a public kitchen where the food can be bought for even as little as 3 or 4 groschen. They ordered food and were served. While they were eating, they spoke about the miracle worker and made fun of the concept, saying how false and foolish it was. The restaurant owner overheard their words and he became very angry. The miracle worker, very highly esteemed in that area. "Eat what you have in front of you," he said to them, "and then get out of here." Then the miracle worker's son came in. They continued to make fun of the miracle worker in the son's presence. The restaurant owner rebuked them for making fun of the miracle worker. While the son was there, finally beat them up soundly and threw them out. Thanks. Yeah, they got what they deserved. They were very angry and wanted to sue the restaurant for beating them up. They decided to go to the innkeeper where they had left their luggage to seek advice on how to obtain justice for what had happened. They came and told them that the owner of the public kitchen had beat them very severely. When the innkeeper asked them why, they told him that it was because they had spoken against the miracle worker. "It is certainly not right to beat up people," said the innkeeper, "but you also did not act properly in speaking against the miracle worker. The miracle worker is very highly respected in these parts." Notice how like, the people who don't believe become like the lonely man of, we'll call it like Salvation's book, the lonely man of faith. They become like the lonely man, like the one out. Right? Like the professor always tells me, he goes, how come everybody can be davening mincha except the professor? Except me, he doesn't call the professor. Except Rabbi Schneider. Except Schneider. He doesn't daven mincha. Why? What's wrong with me? They become very lonely and like, because they never, they're always smarter to believe in everybody, so they're always very lonely. And they think that they're so smart that but they become just very lonely and left out. And now he's going to run around, please, you know, he thinks he has justice right now because the guy beat him up, so I get justice. Become very lonely when you don't. Now, on the other hand, you can't just fall into like the, you know, it's almost, I'm going to go as far as to say, I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to take it with a big grain of salt. Like, a person who doesn't believe in like, going to Meiron is ridiculous for Shem Bar Yochai for Lag BaOmer. Excuse me, Adoni, there's a 500,000 Jews going. 1 out of every 10 people in Israel go up there. Like, why are you so lonely? Why are you so on the side? Like, why? Like, why? We're talking about a person who's like vehemently against. We're not talking about this. I don't go, but I can understand. It's a nice thing. You know, people are vehemently against it. It used to be like 10 years ago, people are vehemently against it. It was like, no. Now it's like everyone's just giving up. And like that lonely person saying, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. Watching bus after bus after bus after bus. Chasidim, Misnagdim, Litvish, this, Svardim, non-religious, religious. What Tzibur is not there? And you're still standing on the side screaming, no, it's not true, it's not true. You become very lonely. And you have to like, When you're going against everybody around you, you kind of have to like, you get hit, and you're like screaming out, "Hello, hello, justice, justice!" And nobody wants to help you. The town clerk was gentle, was a Gentile. They told him the story of how they had been beaten. When the town clerk asked them why it had happened, they replied that it was because they had spoken against a miracle worker. The town clerk beat them soundly and had them thrown out of his office, and he was not Jewish. He was not Jewish. In those days, by the way, in the times of the Baal Shem Tov, non-Jews believed in these tzaddikim. And Kedushas Levi, I'll tell you a true story, as much as Rav Kirzi can tell true stories, but I think he can tell true stories. I can tell you for sure, we're in Berdichev. And Berdichev, everybody knows the tzaddik, even the goyim always say tzaddik. Right, especially if they want money, tzaddik, and they hang around there. But they used to go. The people used to go to Rav Levi Yitzchak. So listen to this story. I can tell you that it's 100% true that Rav Gerzi was going crazy out of his mind in Berdichev. I've never seen him out of his mind so much. I like hold him at one time. And I said, "Rav Gerzi, you're scaring everybody. Stop! I hope he doesn't do this year." But he was putting dirt on all the kfarim and screaming and yelling like a madman. Like, I'm like, Rav Gerzi, you're supposed to speak now. He's like, God, speak! He's like, running around. Then we get to our room. He was my roommate. And he puts down his stuff and he runs out. I'm like, okay, fine. I go in to sleep. I like wake up like in 2 hours. No one's there. And the next time I see him, he's in the mikveh the next morning. You know, like, Rabbi Kaplan! And he's feeling a little bit better. He walked the streets of Berdichev. His coat was all white from the snow of the night. He walked the streets of Berdichev all night and he met a couple. At 3 in the morning. We finished with the carrot like at 2 in the morning. So at 3 in the morning, he met a couple. And he says, good evening to them. And they said, good evening, in an accent of like an English accent. So Gerzi says, oh, where are you from? They're like, from London, England. He's like, oh, I'm also from England. Like, oh, he says, what are you doing here? They're like, we're here because we're the ninth generation people who live in Berdichev. We moved to, like, our grandparents moved to England, but our great-great-great-great-grandparents lived in Berdichev, and it was a Mesorah in our family. They didn't say the word Mesorah, that my great... You could just open it. That my...
Oh, no.
That my great-great-great-grandparents, they didn't have children, and they went to the Lev Yitzchak Berdichev, and he said, I'll, you really shouldn't have children. I'll grant you children on condition that you work on the cemetery, because this was the cemetery was there before Lev Yitzchak. So you clean the cemetery and you take care of the cemetery, you love children. And tell that to your anacles, your anaklach, you know. So they find that they had children. And when there was a family tradition, if you had a tough time having children, so we've been married for a certain amount of time. We haven't had children, so we came to Berdichev to clean up the cemetery and to work on the cemetery to have children. This is the ninth generation. So we see that the town clerk is not Jewish. Why are they believing in a tzaddik? In those days, people, even non-Jews, believed in tzaddikim. They saw the unbelievable work of the tzaddikim. And even the non-Jews starts hitting him. They went from place to place. Now he really feels lonely. Meaning, I'm not getting the attention of anyone. I'm not even getting the attention of the goyim here. At least the goy could say, "Oh, that's ridiculous, the tzaddik." Instead, he gets a slap from the goy. Like, how dare you speak about the Baal Shem? Again, you feel he's marginalizing himself and putting himself on the sidelines so much. That's what a chacham does. Instead of saying, like, "Hey, maybe I'm missing out. Maybe it's me." He, not one time he says, "Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm totally missing the point here." No. I'm so sure that there's no king, and I'm so sure, I'm doubly sure, that there is no God. That there is no tzaddik. They went from place to place, from one official to a higher official, until they finally came to the prime minister. Ooh. Talking about Yosef, right? Mm-hmm. Guards were stationed in front of the prime minister's residence. They told the prime minister that people want to see him, and he bid them to enter. The sophisticate came before the prime minister. As soon as they entered, the prime minister recognized that this was his old friend, the sophisticate. The sophisticate, however, did not recognize him, since he was not such a great person. The prime minister immediately said to him, "Look at my simplicity." So the prime minister yells at him like this, "Look at my simplicity. It brought me to such greatness, but what did your sophistication bring you? What did it bring you? Remember we talked and he said, yeah, I'll be like you when I get a lobotomy." Basically what he said, "Remember, if I lose all my brain, then I'll be like you." Then he says, I can become successful, terrifying, like this. If God wants me to be successful, I'll be successful, terrifying. Right? And now that you were old, my friend, the simpleton, replied the sophisticate, can be discussed later. Now I want justice having being beaten. He's like, okay, that's besides the point. But no, that's not besides the point. The reason why you're being beaten is because you can't understand it. You can't understand yourself, the koch of a tzaddik, the koch of Hashem, the koch of Kedusha. You are just so stuck with your own thoughts. Why did it happen, asked the prime minister? Because I spoke against a miracle worker, replied the sophisticate. I said that it was superstition and a great fraud. The simpleton who was prime minister spoke up and said, "You still hold by your sophistication? See, you said that you can achieve that what I have very easily, but I would never be able to attain what you have. But I have attained what you have, and you have not attained what I have. You're a pauper. You're nothing. You're a schlepper. The doctor, the gold cutter, the silver cutter, the everything. And me, the nothing, the bad shoemaker. I'm sitting here being the prime minister. Do you see what's happening? I see that it's more difficult for you to achieve my simplicity. You can't even get my simplicity. You are so brazen. You are so such an action in a bad way. We talked about in last and then being action in a good way. But you're an action in the bad way. You have a bad thought. Boom, you will not get this out of your mind. Now that's very good if it's a good thought. If it's a bad thought, it's very bad to be stuck on it. I get stuck on certain things. It drives me crazy. Are you pointing to me?
No, me too.
And it drives me crazy because we're so stuck up with that. Well, I'm so right and I can't be wrong. And because we can't look at a paradigm shift. The paradigm shift is looking at a situation in a totally, totally, totally different way. We can't make that because it can't be other. Meaning, I can't go against myself because that means I was wrong. He can't do that. Even though even the non-Jewish town clerk slapped him for it. Nevertheless, since the simpleton knew him for a long time ago when he was great, he ordered the sophisticate to be given clothing. He invited him to eat with him. During the meal, they began to converse. The sophisticate began to argue his case that there is no king. The simple prime minister rebuked him, and he says like this, "I myself have seen the king." Whoa. The Tom says, "I've seen the king." Boom, checkmate, you're gone. I saw the king. Your whole thing is that nobody saw the king. I saw the king. This is so let's see what he answers. The Sifiskis laughed and said, are you really certain that he was the king? Did you really recognize him? Do you know if his grandfather or grandfather were kings? How do you know that he was really king? People only told you that he was a king. They fooled you with lies. Oh, so now a person saw the king. No, but he wasn't really the king. Everything's been so twisted and so difficult. You must be wrong. He hasn't seen the king. What a horrible... This is a story linked this morning, Koch Leor, when the big... called the Breslov Revival, more than Likutei Maran even. It was written by the fourth generation Breslov, Rav Avram Bar Nachman, not the son of Rav Nachman of Breslov, but Rav Nachman of Tulchiner. Rav Nachman of Tulchiner was a Talmud of Rav Nassan, Rav Nassan was a Talmud of Rav Nachman. It's the fourth generation. And he writes that Rabbi Nassan, there was a guy named in Uma named Hirsch Baer. Hirsch Baer was a big apikoros. He was a chacham shein kamo. He was the academic apikoros, but he was very close to Rabbi Nachman. He was the one actually who got Rabbi Nachman buried to where he is today, not to the regular cemetery down below. And they all listened to Hirsch Baer. And Rabbi Nachman was speaking to Hirsch Baer one time, and Hirsch Baer was saying, you know, his all of his philosophy, why there's probably no God and everything like that. And Rabbi Nachman screamed out to him, goes, how could you be saying this? I saw him myself. And Hirsch Baer like kind of like felt it, like, wow, there is a God. And Rabbi Nachman said, for that moment, Hirsch Baer knew that there was a God in the world. When I said, I saw him myself. So he says, I saw him myself. Here the Chacham doesn't even, he's like, oh yeah, that's not really right. Even when we experience God, everyone's like, well, you know, that's, you know, we weren't experiencing God. You were just excited, you were this, you were that, you were that. And we're able to deflate everything. The Chacham is to deflate every bit of truth that we have. The Sinto was very, very angry about what the other was saying, denying his king's existence. In the middle of all this, someone came and said, now I don't understand who this, someone came and said, we have no idea who this, he goes, the devil has sent for you. The simpleton began to tremble. The simpleton began to tremble very, very much. He ran and told his wife that he was very much afraid, since the devil had sent for him. His wife had advised him to send the miracle worker. When they sent for him, the miracle worker came and gave him amulets and other forms of protection. He gave him like kameot. Was, you know, like those like Rabbi Hashem was very into this. There's amulets with Hashem's name in it and everything. The professor has one. Yeah. So everyone makes fun and this and that. Today I don't know what's going on. Again, who am I to make fun against that?
Is that like?
Again, who am I to make fun? Am I going to base all of my emuna on it? I don't think so. But like in those days, the Baal Shem really, if you're getting from a good source, it's something very, very special. I'll give you amulet and kameh. Throughout history, this was like a thing. It wasn't. This is not just a Chassidish thing. Also, the Baal Shem was a master of the healer. His Talmud, Rabbi Nachman Horndaika, who is the grandfather of Rabbi Nachman, by the way. Rabbi Nachman was named after Rabbi Nachman, who was actually buried in Tveria. He was like the magic person for. He was the healer of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov, many different Talmidim. Certain people wrote down the Torah. Some people spread out his Torah to people. Some people got everybody riled up. And Rabbi Nachman was known as the healer. He would heal people with amulets and shemos of Hashem. And the Baal Shem Tov was very into that. That was one of the main things of the Baal Shem Tov. We never hear about it today, but that was one of the main things of the Baal Shem Tov. And that's why. So he said, now you have nothing to fear. He had great fear in this. So this guy got an amulet. You know, like, you know, everyone's, you know, people, you can imagine what the Chacham's thinking about getting an amulet. Oh boy, oh boy. Later, the sophisticate said, the simple were sitting together again. He goes, why are you so frightened as a sophisticate? He said, because the devil sent for us. The sophisticate laughed and said, you believe in the devil? Oh God, another of your crazy, page 192. You really believe in the devil? Another of your stupid sophistication? Right? Talking about the time where my good friend, I have a good friend who's really the time. The sophisticate laughed and said, do you really believe in the devil? Who sent for us? Asked the simpleton. The sophisticate spoke up and said, it was most probably my brother who was trying to see me. He sent for me with this pretense. So I don't understand anything. He didn't have a brother. Remember, they were growing up and they were just like, they're both single kids, you know, the only child. I don't know where this brother came up. And how did he get through the guards? Asked the simpleton. He must have bribed them, said the sophisticated. I'm going this through really fast because I didn't really get a full understanding of this. They purposely lied and said that they did not see him. In the middle of this conversation, someone again came and said, the devil has sent for you. The simpleton wasn't afraid at all since he had protection of the miracle worker and given him. Now what do you say? He declared to the sophisticated. I have a brother who is angry with me, the other answered. He's pulling this trick in order to frighten me. He stood up and asked the one who had come for them, "What does the one who sent for us look like? What is a face like? What color his hair does he have?" He asked a few more similar questions. The messenger gave a description, but this is an exact description of my brother, declared the sophisticate. "Will you go with him?" asked the simpleton. "Sure," replied the other. "Just give me a few soldiers as an escort so he won't harass me." I don't understand what's going on, to tell you the truth. I'm just going to go over that fast. The simpleton provided him with an escort. The sophisticate and his companion went with the messenger who had come for them. Soon the soldiers returned. "Where are the sophisticate and his companion?" asked the prime minister. The soldiers replied that they did not know, since the two had vanished. The devil had captured the sophisticate and his companion and has brought them to a quicksand bog. If you see the movie, like, they're screaming in the quicksand. The Jews could probably watch it. The devil sat on a throne in the middle of this bog, and he threw the sophisticate like his companion into the mud. The bog was thick and sticky like a glue, and they could not move in it at all. Right? It's almost like, you know, what is this? Like, what is it called? Mida Kenegan Mida. Like, that's his whole life. He's in a bog. His mind is in a bog. His mind is in quicksand. Everything is bog. Just everything was quicksanding. Like, boom, 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 boom. You know, like, he couldn't get out of this kfira. He lived a life of kfira, and he had no exit out of the kfira. So now he's in this bog by the devil, who he doesn't even believe in. Right? When the devil and his cohorts began to torture these two, they screamed out, "Friends, why are you torturing us? Does such a thing as a devil really exist? You are friends, and you're fiends." What's fiends?
Enemies.
Enemies. "And you're torturing us for nothing." Meaning, he's saying, does the devil really exist? Hello, you're like, you're in mud, and the devil has put you in the mud. Like, what are you talking about? He still has kfira to this last moment. As the devil is destroying you, he says, is there really a devil?
It's like the person who doesn't to Yeshua in the gates of Gehenna.
Yeah.
So even though he's on the gates of Gehenna, and like...
Right. These two sophisticates still did not believe in the devil. They thought that they were wicked people who were torturing them for no reason. Right? The two sophisticates remained in the bog and they tried to analyze the situation. Oh, they're analyzing the situation. Great thing. Analyze your situation. Right? This is a great time to analyze your situation. There's everything in their lives is analyzing, that we have to understand what's going on to myself. I have to understand what's going on to myself. So analyzing the situation. What does this mean? They said, they're common hooligans. We argued with them once and now they're torturing us so much. It's everybody else. The hooligans and the town clerk and they're this and they're this. Nobody. No, it's not us. It's everybody else. There's no devil that exists. They're hooligans. The Baal Shem is a liar and they get into... The two were tortured and they suffered for many years. One day the simpleton was walking in front of the miracle worker's house. He remembered his friend, the sophisticate, and went into the miracle worker. He bowed to him, as nobles do, and asked if it would be possible to see the sophisticate and free him. Do you remember the sophisticate, the chacham, he asked the miracle worker? The devil sent for him and carried him away. Since that day I never saw him again. Yes, replied the other, I remember him. The simpleton asked him to show him where the sophisticate was and to free him. Certainly, replied the miracle worker, I can show you where he is and I can free him, but no one could go except for you and me. I mean, he was going to the realms of the evil, and only a tzaddik could go into the realms of evil. That's already like a different thing to talk about, but Rabbi Nachman talks about it takes a big tzaddik to go into the lowest places. So Rabbi Nachman found himself in the lowest, and everybody makes fun of Rabbi Nachman. Now, like, oh, all these like prisoners, love, you know, where did Yosef Kaduna play on Hanukkah? Leva Torah, I think Gesher, and three jails up north. You know, like, I know there's a guy in Ramat Beit Shemesh, his name is Doron Stern, big tzaddik. His son is also very, very special. His son played here on Lag BaOmer. He played the clarinet last year, and he goes all the time. He's going to prison. They're all Rabbi Nachman. So he sees, oh, all the prisoners love Rabbi Nachman. You see, that's so stupid. So the stupid people. No, it's just because the tzaddik is the only one that could reach them. They went together. The miracle worker did what he had to do. And they came to the place. They saw the two sophisticates lying in the thick mud and quicksand. When the sophisticate saw the prime minister, he screamed to him, my brother, look! These fiends are beating me and torturing me for no reason. The prime minister rebuked him. You're still immersed in your sophisticated ways. You do not believe anything. You're trying to tell me that these are human beings? But here's the miracle workers whom you denied. He is the only one who can free you and he will show you the truth. Meaning, I'm going to prove to you right now that you're so wrong. I have the Baal Shem with me. You think that this is not the devil. You think that this is people. Here, I have the Baal Shem with me. The simpleton, who was the prime minister, asked the miracle worker to free them and show them to really the devil and not a human being. The miracle worker did what he had to do, and they were suddenly standing on dry land, like magic. The Bog simply vanished, and the evil spirits turned to dust. The sophisticate saw it all, and he was forced to admit to the truth. There was a king. Anybody have a question on that? He was forced to admit there was a king.
He lost his free will.
What?
He lost his free will.
In a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way, right. It's not a question anymore. But what's like a kash on this? There was a king. What should he really be saying? There is a?
Miracle worker.
Miracle worker.
Or a devil.
Why does he say there was a king? The king has nothing to do with this.
The king is Hashem.
But why does he know? Why is this Hashem?
Well, the miracle worker and the devil are derivative of Hashem. Like.
Oh. Once he got out that I don't know everything, then all the beliefs, he started with that there's no king. That's where it started with. And he goes back to the root. I didn't even say that there was anything above. I only live a fleshier life. Anything that I can feel, touch, see, that's what's in my life. And if once the tzaddik is right, Hashem is right. Moshe kibbutz Torah Sinai. Moshe was the one who kibbutz Torah Sinai. Not us. Why didn't Hashem just give it to us? Hey, but me. I have to go through the tzaddik. Once you believe in the tzaddik, you believe in Hashem, you believe in the king. So it doesn't even say that he believes in the Baal Shem. That's obvious. That the fact that he believes in the Baal Shem, he could believe in the God. The minute you're able to see above yourself, you could believe in a God. That's the end of the story. We'll read a little bit from Rabbi Nassim writes at the end. The Rebbe's lesson, which discusses simplicity, is a commentary on the story. Teaches that the object of Judaism is not sophistication, but simplicity and straightforwardness. But with that being said, was the Tam afraid of Chachma?
No.
He said, bring it on. Great. Got bop, 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 till he's a prime minister. You can't just be a Tam, just be a stupid Tam. You can't get nowhere in life. But your basis has to be Tmimus. Tmimus. I believe in Hashem because I believe in Hashem. Not because of reasons. Then you can bring in the Chachma in your life. What happened to the Tam? After telling the story, Rabbi Nachman declared, if a prayer is not said properly, it is a triangular shoe. Right? It's a triangular shoe, meaning be happy with it. There's a story of Rabbi Nachman, there's a fire in Breslov. There are two things happening in Breslov. Either there's a fire and it's burning up everything, or roofs are falling off places. Or like the Masnagdim were like sending the Russians into the house of Rabbi Nachman. Those are the three things that happen in Breslov. That's it. There's a big fire in Breslov, and Rabbi Nachman saw this guy like crying by his house, and he was taking everything that left, like the wood that was left, and he took a few pieces of wood that were still wood, and he started building his house again. And Rabbi Nachman said to his Hasidim, he says, look at this guy, he's so distressed about his house, and his house is totally destroyed, but yet he finds the wood that's left, and he starts he doesn't have Yeish on his house, he starts building the house again. So to us, our Avodas Hashem may be nothing, it may be so bad, I don't do this, I can't understand this, I can't do that, and my davening is not davening that, but take the little that you have, the little that you have, a bissel is always good, a little is also good, and build through that. And that's what the Tam did, he appreciated every, which drop of Rabbi Akiva? You know the story of Rabbi Akiva that he became a Baal Tshuva because he saw the drops making the hole in the stone, mm-hmm. in the rock?
Yeah.
Right, which drop made the hole in the rock?
The first one.
Well, the first, second, third. But if you're going to say like the first one, can you imagine watching one drop on the rock? Like, no, that didn't do anything. The first one didn't do anything. The millions did something, right? But the first, no, that's not true. Everything led up to the millions. You can't just say that the first one didn't matter, even though it looks so insignificant, the first one. Because if you stopped at the first one, it would do nothing to the rock. But that also, it starts the process. I mean, to everything is important in that process. And that's what the Tam believed in. Think about the story itself. A person can have bread, water, and a sheepskin, and have a better and happier life than most sophisticated and wealthy of those people, since the latter always tends to be miserable. In the end, things turn out the best for the simpleton, who is always satisfied with what he has and is constantly cheerful. One who is sophisticated and thinks too much is always troubled. He's constantly miserable and never enjoys life. He's always analyzing his life. He's living outside his life. He's not living life. He's living outside his life. He's analyzing the situation. His only hope is the simpleton will have pity on him and help him. Okay, let's say you're a chacham. I think this says very. We learned one of the main lessons of this story, like underlying lessons, that's not part of the main plot of the story, or maybe it is part of the main plot of the story, that even if you yourself can't do something, have a friend that can do it. So the Chacham can't do it. He's till the last minute, the last drop, he's denying it. But because he has his friend takes him out. Our friendships is not only just so my friend can help, can change me. My friend almost is a little bit me, and I sometimes have to rely on my friend just to get me out of it. I can't get myself out of it. What does it say in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah? That a person can't take himself out of jail. He needs somebody to take him out of jail. And he needed him to take out of the jail of this. He didn't want to be. Besides this, the story also contains very deep mysteries. Through these stories are great mysteries of the Torah. Okay, but, you know, we're dealing with more of the lesson of it. And, so what's the lesson of this story?
Be simple.
Be simple. Okay, definitely be simple. What does it mean to be simple? Be stupid?
No. I mean, there's a lot of implications.
It seems like be simple outside, but be complex
inside. Yeah, I think it allows simplicity into your life. Because he also, like, the sophisticated, like, he's called the sophisticated little story, but, like, in the latter half of the story, like, the something starts being called, like, the prime minister, and only at the end does it remind you, like, the simpleton who, like, became the prime minister. Because like, he isn't a simpleton, he just is. He starts out simple, becomes a guy who, like, allows the simplicity into his life, mm-hmm. He still, like, becomes a big guy.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, you could live with simplicity without being, like, a simple. Meaning that, like, he has a simplicity. He's like, okay, like, whatever happens, happens. And I'm not going to go off doing 1,000 things and trying to be experts in all of them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do what I need to do. And then if other things come on my way while I'm doing my
derech,
take those things on. But I'm not going to, like...
Right. And also, all of this, and also I would add also that what you get in your life... will only be caught, only become because of you, because you belong in that place. That Hashem is putting you in that place. You have to make the decisions in life. Yeah, okay. So if you feel that you have to go to college, so you have to go to college. But it's not the college that's going to get you the good job. It's not that nothing in the external part of your life is going to get you. You will get to every place you have to get. The time I said, we were me and Rav Judah were at Yosef Karduner's wedding for one of his sons, right? So there's no bigger time than Yosef Karduner, just so simple. So we go to the wedding. His son married. His son's also the sweetest guy. Okay, we get the invitations, which was the biggest invitation I ever got in my life. Like, you put all American invitations, and like, stuff all over, like palaces all over, and says, where is the wedding? The wedding is right next to Ben Gurion Airport in the convention center. That's when they have like massive conventions, like worldwide conventions and everything like that. Like, whoa, you know. He married the daughter of like the richest rabbi. He's called the X-ray rabbi. The Runt again is an X-ray, because he's able to like tell businessmen, do this business, no, that's gonna fail, don't do that. So who is at his wedding? Like the CEO of Maccabi Tel Aviv, the head of Pazgaz, all of like the big people that are big. I don't think Netanyahu came, but Netanyahu knows him very well. Big ministers came. There were a lot of government ministers there, and like we're looking, but where did Yosef Karduner do? Like, did Yosef Karduner outsmart the system that he found? No, he did what he had to do. He had to do what he was in front of him. That doesn't mean not to be stupid and say, no, I'm not doing anything, and it's just going to come my way. Do what you have to do. Do what you have to do in a normal ishtalos. And that's the way Hashem will lead me and get to the place. I will get to every place I have to get into my life, as long as I'm going b'tmimus. And again, and not to be afraid. If someone says, someone gives you a great opportunity, take it. Take it. That's the king calls him up, take it. I had just in my life, actually, this story, there was a great opportunity, and I was going back and forth. I said, no, I don't want it. And then I was reading this story, I'm like, why am I reading this story? Not to, so I could take that opportunity like a Tom. Of course. And I said the exact words of the Chacham. I'm not fit for that. I can't do that. That's too a tough job for me. That's way above me. I'm not going to be good. I was exactly saying the Chacham. I said, you stupid. Yeah? You're teaching Sipur Maizyus. Like the Tom. Okay, fine. If you think I could do it, I'll do it. And Hashem will take me to that place. He'll make sure I'll be able to do it. I really look back in my life, like, I didn't do anything to become like a program director in Yeshiva to know about All Too Limited and I have a company. It all came like, I don't know where it came from. I really don't know where it came from. Like, you know, I was working for YU in Israel, schlepping around to schools, speaking about YU, and I had a little schus also to bring a shift around to those shoes. That was very nice, but I was a schlepper, and then I was teaching night seder here for when it was on like 2,000 shekel a month, I don't know what it was, and then I got this and this, and then the program director dropped out, and I'm like, I said, Rebos, I think I can do it. And then my company, I had no idea. I didn't start my company. I feel like I never started my company. This guy, my father-in-law is he's a lawyer, and the guy he works with was going to a trip in Israel. So he said, oh, my son-in-law knows a lot about Israel. So he got in touch with me. I put up a thing. I said, okay. He's like, really like this trip. He told his friend, because this guy makes trips. And the guy called me. I'm like, wait, one second, I can make money. So I started charging $150 for a full trip to Israel, a ridiculous amount. That's not including all the hotels and everything, but like a ridiculous amount. Basically, making no money, getting cash. And this. You get to places in life, be a Tom. You grow from the outside, from the inside out. Everything's from the inside out. Like what I always say with matzahs, right? If you want to make a matzah big, so some people focus on the corners. Why? Because get the corner out, right? What happens? It all gets stuck in bed. How do you get a matzah out from the middle? From the middle out. You don't get to the corners because the corners are going to stick. The corners are not ready to go. A person is this. Oh, if I do this and talk to this person, it's going to work for me. That's you're doing the corners already. Get it from the inside. Prepare your inside. And whatever the preparation is in a normal way, if it means to go to college, to take these courses, does it mean to network here and there? Sometimes you have to do that also. But that's part of your inside, of what's normal to do it. And I'm not getting myself to places. I'm just making the decision that's right in front of me. Right, like Yaki was talking about decisions and choices. I'm not making any major decisions in my life. I'm making choices. I have a choice this, I have a choice that, I have a choice this, choice that. I have a choice to say yes or no, no to the king. Yes to the king, no to the king. Yeah. Choices. And that's, you get to life by just being a Tom, about being who you are. If you ever step out of being somebody else, Then you're rolling the corner of the matzah and pick it up, it all rips up and it's all gone, just like what happened to the chacham. Okay, Bisher, I want to treat you guys to